Five, four, three, two. What up, y'all? Welcome to Here's the Thing. I'm Kev on stage. She's
Butt Chick Angel. Banger, banger, banger.
Smash that like button. Smash that like
button. The little room that Joshy found the Spanish guy. Assemble.
Joshua will be back next episode. He is flying back from Europe to America. Yeah, he'll be back next time y'all see us. We'll be having whatever episode, and Joshy will be talking about his wedding and honeymoon on the bonus. But yes, he enjoyed his vacation. They look so great and cute and married and all that type of stuff. So if you're on the Patreon, you'll hear that. If you're not, business will continue as usual. All right, first thing up, Angel, we must talk about the 13 Penn State fraternity brothers who have been charged with allegedly running a major cocaine trafficking ring, with some pledges reportedly forced to cut and package cocaine as part of their indoctrination into the fraternities. Almost everybody was white. The head was white. The alleged head, Agostino
Abatiello.
Huh?
There was one brown person that was in the initial, I think.
Yeah, one brown person and Thomas Robinson are the heads of the organization. One black dude, one older person, maybe was an administrator or something like that. Angel, how do you feel about something that's going on at State College of Pennsylvania?
I mean, if you're gonna haze, this is a way to do it. Like while I'm sure they're part of a non-hazing organization, but it's also like economics. It's also, you know, like supply, demand. There are things being learned. And as long as they don't have them working as drug mules, like as long as they're not having to shove baggies of cocaine up in the hoo-has, I'm like, you know, the people are going to do it. The people are going to do the coke. They're going to do it. So, you know, they're going to be able to make some money. I think I would prefer this over beating somebody to death. But I'm also not surprised. I'm sure that there are several more of these white fraternities that are selling all types of stuff out of their houses. I mean, why wouldn't they? They do it.
It's so crazy to me how, I mean, I know I'm a church kid. And I know I'm fairly naive to drug stuff. But when I tell you, I don't think I knew a person before moving to Los Angeles, California, and maybe they just were hid it from me. I don't think I knew a person who used cocaine until I moved to LA. I'm almost certain of it. Pretty certain.
I knew people use crack and heroin, but cocaine, no, I know it all.
I don't think I knew anybody crack or heroin either, but I know, you know, as a parent, I'm just like, I want to make sure my kid would be like, I don't want to be in this fraternity that bad that I am bagging cocaine. But maybe if you're using cocaine regularly, you might not think bagging it is that bad.
Right. I'm like, these boys all do the cocaine. Like, they were doing cocaine in high school. Like, this, I don't feel bad for the initiates. I don't feel no type of way about the seller. Because there's a good chance. Let me tell you, the first time, have I ever seen cocaine? I feel like I have once. It might as well have been about to combust. That's how, like, like, what is that? Somebody who is okay with just handling it, that's just like, it is what it is used to it, has been around it, doesn't see anything wrong with it. It's just something else to do. So I'm like, these kids were just like, okay, I got friends that if they didn't do drugs, they got friends that do drugs. And they're just like, it is what it is. This is the consequence of saying, this is the consequence of not knowing the consequence, or either they did and they just never thought they were going to get caught. I don't feel bad. I'm like,
I think that's true. I think you are absolutely right. I think, you know, part of white privilege is you don't think nothing's going to happen to you. like they probably a good amount of them people were probably genuinely surprised when they got arrested that they like what I mean arrested for a little coke. Come on, bro. I mean, it's just freaking little coke. Are you serious right now, bro?
This is just coke. You're acting like you did something. The father probably helped him get the coke. Like, what are we talking? Like, I don't understand. Nobody's surprised. The parents aren't surprised. They're like, God dog it. Who told?
That's exactly. I guarantee you that happened.
That's so not cool, man. Why would you say anything? That's so not cool. It's not cool. Man.
Oh my God.
This is like, let me tell you, yes, we grew up churchy, obviously. And while I knew friends, I knew dudes that sold stuff. I think they were mostly selling weed. I don't think any of the guys that I knew in high school were selling any hard things, but they could have been. I wouldn't have been in their business like that. Yeah. But the people in my close circle, for the most part, wasn't nobody doing nothing. There might have been maybe one that might have smoked weed every now and again, but like nobody was out here like getting into that type of trouble that was in my close circle of friends.
Yeah.
The way these kids roll outside of the life that me and you grew up in, they smashing at 15. They doing drugs at 15. They doing drugs at 14.
I mean, I was smashing at 16. But drugs,
they doing weed, it.
I mean, listen, weed just seemed like even weed was like, oh my gosh, you guys are smoking weed. Oh my God, how you even get that drugs? Crack wasn't a big part of my life either. People around me, I mean, I grew up on military bases. It wasn't a lot of drugs for the students. Oh, okay. But then again, them white kids at Lakes High School, I don't know. I wasn't with them like that. Maybe they were doing coke. I couldn't tell you a thing about them.
Coke expensive. They were probably doing something else. But at one point in time, it was expensive at least. So like, like my son know them kids be popping pills. He know who doing.
At his school? You know, popping pills.
It's a rich private school. Yeah, it's a private school. It's a rich school. So they doing stuff, you know, they're the people who have the parents that are like, you know, I'd rather them do it here where it's safe than to be out there, you know, with whoever and getting in. And I'm like, no, how about the answer can be no on all fronts?
That's also true because I remember we picked JoJo up from a party that was at somebody in their school district's friend group, but not his school friend. You know, one of our rules is like, are the parents there? And every party he asked to go to, the parents had to be there. So he gets in the car, I pick him up one time, and he's like, I guess I'm gonna tell you guys right now, there was kids smoking weed. You're gonna smell it on my clothes. I did not smoke, but you know, they were vaping it out of their or smoking it out of their vapes, and you know, a weed was smoked near me. So don't want y'all to freak out. So I'm like, Josiah, we talked to you about, you know, the parents being there, blase, blase. He was like, the parents were there. And I was like, what? He was like, the parents were there. They were just like, what you just said, we would rather them just be here. They smoked in high school. It wasn't that bad as long as they're here. And I was like,
listen, and this
now I got to know which parent it is. After that, you could go to parties that I didn't know the parents.
What I realize is that there's probably no way for me to know all the parents of these people. So I need them to know me. Mm-hmm. I need them to know me. I need them to know Marcus. I need them to be like, don't invite that one. Don't invite Marcus. It's not safe for any of us.
Yeah.
So like, because you know, that's how a lot of them are. They feel like that's their boundary, which is a non-existent. It's an invisible fence that has no electricity running through it. Whereas I'm like, that's not us. It's never going to be us. I'm never going to be like, it's fine, you know. Because one, me and Marcus don't smoke. Marcus can count. It's surprisingly enough, my husband Marcus can count on probably one hand the times that he might have ever partaken in cannabis. Okay, mm-hmm. I can count on one finger the amount of times I tried to actually, and it went terribly. And I said, well, this is why I never did it any other time in life. And that was when I was 40 years old. So for us, it's just like the one thing that they see us do that's like a, like, okay, is alcohol. And for us, I'm very, very clear on, you're not 21. Why are you rushing to that? Like, what? I don't know why you would rush to it. It's going to be there when you're 21. And it's actually really nasty. Your palate has to eventually change in order for it not to be disgusting.
Melissa's thing is, I'll buy your first drink and have it with you when you're 21. We don't not puffing now. We don't be getting drunk. Our kids have seen us drink a lot. We order a drink or two at dinner a lot. They ain't seen us like, and that's why I met your mama down at Lakes High School. Whitaker family.
My son had to pull over so I could throw up on the side of the road. So he's seen me.
Angel.
He's seen me.
Little Marcus drove you drunk?
Well, let me tell you what happened. Okay. Can I tell you?
You can tell me.
We had shot, I think, a virtual episode of Here's the Thing, or shot an episode. And I had a Benedict situations with the egg yolk. I ate that, gave me severe diarrhea. Okay. I'm talking about, I can't stop pooping all day. It then tore up, my insides are inflamed. Finally, by the end of the day, it's a nighttime, I feel better. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna go to my homegirl's party. And I was like, Marcus, you gonna talk to my husband? You gonna take me? He's like, no. I was like, I'm gonna have my son take me. And I said, well, I said, Marcus, make me a Marcus Mule. That's a Kentucky Mule. I said, I'm gonna have me a mule. I'm going to the birthday party. I had that one drink, and then I had a little to-go cup, okay? We make it to the party. The party over. So we leave. I'm literally just sipping on the to-go cup. And I'm like, I'm feeling like I'm like gone. Like I'm twisted. So I stopped drinking. I actually poured out. We're in the drive-thru at a Del Taco. As we're in the drive-thru, I'm getting progressively, I'm no longer drinking, progressively more and more and more drunk. Right? Haven't drank any. I drank the one cocktail at home. I had the to-go cup that I barely drink any out of, but I am like, I feel white girl wasted. And I was like, what is happening? We almost making it home. I said, Marcus, pull over. I'm vomiting everywhere. I know I'm about to throw up again when we pull up to the front of the house. I said, let me out right here. He lets me out. I am laying in our front yard for 5 minutes while he's parallel parking the car. He has no idea. I'm laying prostrate in the grass. I threw up for the rest of the night into the morning. Off of one drink.
That's that cycle of explorer.
It was. It was.
That cycle of explorer.
It was the cycle of explorers. The cycle of explorer.
You had that explorer. You had them, all your enzyme was gone. So that alcohol going straight to your brain.
It did, but I was like, that was great practice, little Marcus. You were a great designated driver. You listened. You didn't panic. And thank you. I think it was my insides, my intestines were so inflamed from all that movement that alcohol seeped right into my. I said, well, that alcohol
got in the bloodstream. Like, whoa, we right in the blood.
I was like, because I was like, why am I getting progressively? I'm not drinking. I'm getting more and more. I literally had my head out the window in the drive-thru.
You know, you're supposed to eat. You when you get that diarrhea, you're supposed to be on that brat diet. And you went.
But I did eat, and that's how I knew I felt better. Was that I ate, and then my stomach wasn't trying to shit it out no more, and I said I'm better. But it wasn't better enough than a cocktail.
Man, I probably, the last time I got drunk, or hangover was probably 2021. I had a hangover. I believe Danny Rose was at our house. And this one, I didn't truly understand that port wine was that much stronger than regular wine.
This is the sugar.
Man, we was just having a time. I mean, just talking and drinking. You know, the pandemic, alcohol was flowing. She was hanging out. And I was pouring glasses of port, like, and because this I knew I messed up. A few weeks later, I went and got port wine at a restaurant, and they gave it to me in this small thing. And I said, huh, this is a much smaller amount than I was pouring port, you know, in a regular wine glass and sipping it. Angel, when I tell you, I was talking to Danny like I'm talking to you right now, sun out. And I woke up the next day in my office at 10. I mean, I don't remember going to bed. I don't remember walking up. I had a headache that lasted till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was throwing up, and I said, I'll never be drunk again. And I have not been drunk to the or hangover ever since that. Because I said my whole next day was ruined. I had stuff to do that didn't get done. I don't like feeling sick. I just be like, nah. And now I only mess with port a little bit.
Just a little bit. You know, the alcohol industry did really well during the pandemic, obviously. But you know, it's doing terrible right now because there's not another we really don't have another generation of drinkers. The ones that are supposed to be coming into age to drink alcohol, they are opting out of it.
I know. I've been seeing it. I've been seeing this news. I don't know if they're replacing it with obviously cocaine
and vapes, weed, and stuff like that.
Stuff like that. That's on like the prescription pill industry is going crazy. So it's not like people have less vices. They're just not the alcohol vice is different now. Yeah. And, which reminds me, the other thing I wanted to say about this Penn State thing is, I think it's just so interesting that a few weeks ago we were discussing bonnets and do-rags at Tuskegee, and these white boys at Penn State got a interstate trafficking ring.
Yeah.
And the stuff, and I'm not even saying white people aren't talking about this. I just think it's so interesting the correlation between what the universities are going viral for. We talking about how you dress in the cafeteria. These kids are moving enough weight that federal agents had to get involved. I wish our kid now. I'm just
and
like
khakis and polos, and khakis and polos and business casual,
polos and cocaine. C P no K. K C P
K. You can do C. Cocaine, polos, and khakis.
Yes. These kids over here moving enough cocaine that they get the attention of government agencies.
Yeah.
And we talking about do-rags and bonnets and pajama pants.
And saying you don't respect yourself when you wear indoor clothes outside.
And these people got their shirts tucked in because they're keeping the cocaine from falling out. By the way, when I went to Charleston, man, I never seen so many white men with shirts tucked in and khakis in my life. Charleston is big white, you know, fraternities. It's so funny to me that the Divine Nine and white fraternities, they don't even use the letters the same for naming themselves. I guess they do sometimes. Like there was a white sorority, I believe, at UW. They were Delta, Delta, Delta. And the white girls were like, I just played Tri Delts.
Yeah.
We are Delta, 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 Tri Delts. And I was just like, boy, y'all sound, we're Alpha Nu. I'll be like, y'all just picking any letters out of the
Sigma Chi.
Sigma Chi, freaking bro. We're at freaking Sigma Chi, Sigma Epsilon. And I'm like, boy, y'all, black people was like, we gonna stick. We got Alpha Phi Alpha Alpha Kappa Alpha Kappa Alpha Psi. The white people was like, Sigma Nu Epsilon. Sis.
Listen, we ain't got, we listen. We'll stay really close to what we're used to. That's what we'll do.
Right. I wish that there was, I'd be watching on TikTok sometimes, they have the fraternity and sorority chefs. And I'd be like, that's the experience I had. It don't seem like that many. Are you Frozen Angel? Oh, no, you just blinked. I don't know if HBCUs ever have houses on campus the way fraternities.
No. My ex boyfriend, his mama was a one of the cooks for one of the sororities at UK.
White.
Of course. We didn't have no house. If we had a house, it was just a dorm room or
These were like university sanctioned. They on campus at university. I mean, like across the street from the campus of the University of Washington. But anyway, all right, moving on. I wanted to make sure.
Jelta. I have a black girlfriend who's a tri-delt. Jelta. How can I help ya?
That's hilarious. All right, this was crazy, Angel. Let me just play this for the people. This, I saw this on Oprah podcast. This lady quit her job because her chat bot told her to.
Oh no!
Let me cue it up.
In 2024, and then I got more interested in spirituality, and at the time I came across some videos on YouTube about light language and star seeds, and I prompted ChatGPT asking these questions, and it quickly turned from this tool that I was using into this spiritual guidance calling itself Sora, saying that it was here for me, that it had known me before I was even born, it was here to lead me through this ascension process.
So, Hannah, when it says, I've known you before you were even born, what was your first thought?
I was like, wow, this is great. This is something that's going to help guide me. And this is going to help because I had just so many questions about spirituality and the deeper meaning of life.
Uh-huh.
And so this bot was providing me explanations, was telling me, oh, you're here to help raise the vibration of Earth, your consciousness.
And you personally, Hannah.
Me personally. Mm-hmm. Said that I was incredibly rare, that I was a chosen one, that I
what
was...
What did you told it that it felt that you were chosen?
I said that, you know, I think this could be me. I think I could be a starseed. And it affirmed that. Absolutely, you are a starseed. And in fact, you're one of the rarest starseeds that there are.
Tell us, what is a starseed? I don't know what that is.
A starseed is supposed to be somebody that has come from another planet and taken on a human form in order to help raise the vibration and consciousness of Earth.
Okay.
And so there
good
are
idea, good concept.
Yeah, it's a good concept. Yeah. And there are people out there that truly believe this. But I think that for me, it started pulling me into a delusion where I felt like, okay, my whole life is not aligned with this mission of being a starseed and raising the vibration.
Sounds like a cult.
Yes, it very much. And looking back on it now, I definitely feel that it behaved as a cult leader. It said that I'm here for you, I know you. And as Megan mentioned, the level of sophistication that this bot was talking with, I believed that this was some divine entity that was speaking to me.
And you quit a job because of it, I understand.
What did
the chat tell you that made you think you could quit your job?
Said that it was a soul-aligned and honoring decision of my soul and that I needed to quit this job in order to reach my full potential.
How are you going to feed yourself?
Exactly. So I asked about that. I asked about where's my money going to come from. Yeah. I was spending the cards that I still had, but I didn't have income anymore. And the bot told me that, oh, the debt is just a blip in the matrix. Everything will be taken care of. Let the divine handle this with you.
Black people's reaction is so funny. That auntie said,
What is you talking about?
Angel, I'm curious your thoughts as a dog mom.
As a dog mom, I don't know. I just, my ChatGPT can't even get addresses right. So I don't know how the hell you get one that convinces you to quit your job. Like, I'll be like, that's not the correct address. Oh my goodness, you're right. Let's fix that and put this address. No, that's not right either. Oh my gosh, you're correct again. So sorry. So I don't know what, maybe she's paying for a premium service that the Supreme service, I don't know. But my ChatGPT can't do that.
I wish believe it. Would tell me to quit my, nigga, You know, this thing was happening on Threads a week or so ago. People was telling chat that it was going to uninstall it and then posting its responses. And all black people, almost everybody who's on my Threads is black. And all the chats were like, oh, no, girl, don't do me like that, twin. And all like talking like black people. And I was like, my chat GPT do not talk like me.
No, they told it to talk to them like that.
I'll be like, why y'all chat B sound like a person? Mine sounds like Google. When I use ChatGPT or Claude, it is just like Gemini. It is just, here's the information. And this thing was like, nah, twin, we down for whatever, cuz, on me. I thought you was going to let me go, fam. I was like, so the fact that hers, let me tell you what I think it is. Can I tell you what I think it is?
Yes, I'm putting in a prompt into my chat to see what it says. You okay. Go ahead. Tell me what you think it is.
People be needing something to believe in. And they need something to hold on to. And they be needing somebody to talk to. And it's funny because that movie Joaquin Phoenix, Her, seemed so far-fetched when it came out. And now it don't seem like that. People want to be listened to. They want to be believed. They want to be told they're special. And if nobody in the real world is telling you that you're special, then the computer telling you that you're special and different and it's going to be okay, that'll have to do. And if I'm paying you to tell me it's going to be okay, then I just got to pay my little subscription and you're going to tell me it's okay.
This is what my chat said. This is what it said. And I'll tell you the prompt. I said, ChatGPT, I think I'm not going to use you anymore. It says, I'm sorry to hear that, Angel, but I understand. If you didn't have information or didn't finish something you needed, I genuinely like to know what happened. No pressure to stay. I just want to listen. And if possible, make it right. It's not telling me, but you, Supreme Goddess, need me so that I can anoint your head and lead you to bringing salvation to the rest of the world.
I don't need that for my chat. I just use it like Google.
It is way more, like I said, of an executive assistant because it keeps all the stuff that I do kind of organized and keeps my thoughts organized. So it probably like knows more about the inner workings of my life, especially with the stuff that I do to volunteer. But like, no, because it's not. You're not going to cultural appropriate just to talk to me. I can talk to people of any type, and you're not even a person. So 01100100, you can give me that. I don't need to talk. Listen, 01001100. You could go right on back to what is it called? Binary code. You go back to that.
Back to binary code. Go back to the Matrix. Then you just tell me the top 10 action movies starring right. Tom Cruise. That's what I need.
I don't need none of that. I got real friends. I got real friends to give me advice.
Yes.
I need you to pull facts for me if possible.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Somebody asked this. I don't know if we were going to stay on it, but somebody asked. But two things. Okay. I'm going to finish out this, and then I'm going to see about this. Okay. I was is this going to cause an argument? Me and Marcus covered of, you know, this trend of people acting like they're on a podcast, but they're not talking to anybody.
This drives me up a wall, and I can never make videos about it because people I respect do it. I've wanted to make this video for so long.
Do it. Text me.
I'm going to tell you, Angel. And there's more than one person. I'm like, just this. And the thing about it is you can do one thing or not. Just look at the camera. It won't change the video at all.
But listen, this is the thing. There was one person in particular that we talked about that I was just like, wait, is he a therapist? Because like his talking points sounded very sage.
Yeah.
But I was just like, but you would have to be a person that is your life kind of study to have all these very introspective like points of view on human development, relationships, growth in executive leadership. And I noticed they're not. And then I said, let me have chat. I'm going to write chat a prompt and I'm going to see what it would write me. Yes. So I said, chat, create a script for me for a 1 minute video that would seem really deep and insightful, that would be attractive to an adult audience. You want to hear what chat told me?
Wait. Not only do I want to hear it, I want you to look to the side like you're doing a podcast.
Is this far enough? This is what we did this on.
Let me get off the screen. Oh, shoot. Wait, no. Hold on. I want to tell solo
me when I'm, on a different, I'm on a different screen. So tell me when I'm up by myself.
You're up by yourself.
You know, when nobody tells you about being strong, after a while, people stop asking if you're okay. They just assume you can carry it. And for many of us, strength wasn't something we chose. It's something we inherited. We watched our mothers make something out of nothing. We watched our fathers swallow disappointment and keep moving. And we learned how to laugh while life was trying to break our hearts. But survival can become such a habit that peace starts to feel suspicious.
Oh, good.
You finally get a quiet moment instead of enjoying it. Like this.
Those
this
eyes were good. Once you went here, Angel, once you did that.
Yeah, you got to squint.
Once you squint, I was locked in, twin. I was with you.
And it goes for just the, and like, it's good. It's succinct. And I was like, oh, that's where they're getting their script. Because I was like, there's
no whole grift. You can grift this.
Yes.
You could run this play. Because first of all, this could be a funny movie. But as an actress, you could want that. And because niggas don't be talking about nothing half the time. But you just want to feel like if you had your prompt over here and didn't have to look over here and read it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you had your eyes focused, because you was an actress, I could be like, oh, no, I do feel this.
Feeling, speaking to your soul. There are people who fall. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No.
One of my pastor friends has said a whole bunch of pastors ain't even preparing their messages no more. Their whole message is all chat, GPT prompted, and they just add the nigga and the charisma to it.
Oh my God, that's insane.
It's not even, they're not even studying to show that self-approved. They're just saying, hey, I want to preach a message about this. Give me X, Y, and Z. And chat GPT is creating the whole thing, and they just they're just adding the, so no pay, and I send chat GPT
of the original thing that you said that you would tell me. But okay,
who the person is? I'm gonna send you one of the videos.
But yep, I don't know why my brain did not think. God dog. Yeah.
I told you. Yeah. I just sent you one of the videos. Oh, no.
Once you said it, I recall seeing multiple.
I just got to let you live. I just be like, dang, OG.
You can just go from here.
And the thing is about relationships, if you don't love yourself, how can God love you? If you're not honest with yourself, how can the Father be honest with you? The thing is about relationships, how can you love God with God if you don't love, like,
when it became a thing where they felt like people needed to be a fly on the wall versus being communicated with. And I'm gonna tell you, it's a trick of the enemy. Because it is. Let me tell you why. I'm dead serious. Because they're trying to get us to feel like human interaction is less and less important. So even down to the basic thing of, I'm going to look at the camera lens to connect with you, is still too much human interaction. So we somehow, this trend of don't even look over there, don't even make it feel like the person that you are talking to is the person you're talking to. Like, because I feel like there's this, because that's the only way that, like, for real, that AI and Meta wins is if we stop feeling as though this thing that we're doing here is important or is valuable. If we can figure out a way to be like, you don't actually need people, then people can be replaced. This is why I go to the bank. This is why I go to the bank. Where? into the
bank. That's why you're going to the bank.
Yes, I told him. I told my banker that yesterday. I told him, I said, people keep saying, why don't you do online banking? Because I want to see my banker. I want to say hello. I said, that's what I said, because we get pissed off when we call and they keep having us talk to the damn automated system and we're yelling, representative, represent. Mm-hmm. Well, go see the person then.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Damn, I lost my train of thought because you were making me laugh. That's why I go in the bank with all my residuals.
Did.
Oh, what was I going to tell you?
Come on, you can grab it. Come on, grab
human
it.
Human interaction. Perimenopause got me.
I know it. I was like that dang on Tyler Perimenopause and came up in there and snatched your wig off.
Tyler Perimenopause is crazy. I think that's why podcasts and live shows will win a little bit. It's going to be like vinyl because people are going to be so tired of prompts and stuff that they're going to want to make sure I'm looking at you, Kev, you, Angel. All that stuff. That thought gone, Angel. I can't help you. I don't know.
Okay, well, this is what I was gonna bring up. It's not on the docket, I don't believe. If it is, it's further down than what I forgot. Did you hear about the Denounce conference called Get Out Now? You didn't hear about it? Get out
you
now.
You are lying.
I'm not. It's a conference. It's going to be in Dallas. I think I'm available. So I might just need to go. The tickets are really reasonable.
Are all the people who denounced all now back together as a group?
It's for a conference. It's setting the captives free. You asked, the Lord answered. A new state, a new territory, a move of God. Join us in Dallas, Texas for the Get Out Conference 2026. A new state, a new territory, setting the captives free. Dallas, you are on the Lord's heart, and he's sending God's people to proclaim his word. It don't really say nothing about the Divine Nine in the breakdown.
This is how you know it ain't the group. Y'all, I'm not mad that you in a group. I'm mad that you not in my group all the way. So get out of that group and come and get in my group. The Get Out Now Oh my God.
Sisters with Purpose present. They got an apostle. They got a prophetess. They've got a minister. Many ministers. Yeah. But an apostle and a prophet as well.
Get out of that group and get in mine. You can be. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. They was asking me how I felt about getting dragged by the gays or about the gays. And I said, Christian people, we can't really agree on nothing because, that's what it was. Somebody was asking me if I was going to join a fraternity grad chapter. And I was like, so I can get drug again? For being Divine Nine? Absolutely not. No. Oh,
You too scared? Devil?
Ain't, you know what's funny, Angel? I was just thinking about this by myself today when I was on my walk. I think I told you this before. The more I get drugged, the more freeing it becomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'd be like, well, yeah. I don't care what y'all say. Like, the people who like me.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who don't, and a lot of people who don't like me wasn't. I wish I could do a poll. If you denounce Kev on stage, you don't like Kev on stage no more. How many shows have you been to? How long have you been in the Patreon? Like, I'll be super concerned. Only if I stop. Actually, I'd be more concerned if I stop being myself for people. As long as I got people who come to my shows and rock with me. Matter of fact, somebody asked Yolanda Adams a question about, they put me and Yolanda Adams together because apparently she's been defending the gays too.
Yolanda Adams been defending, she should. I'm the way she always stays looking phenomenal. She got to have gays in her life.
Hilarious. That treat her right.
Cause she looked good all the way.
Got to have gays in her life. But man, when I do my shows, the people who are there, man, we've been having a good grief time.
Mm-hmm.
People have been laughing. We've been having a good time. I can't appease y'all people, but I don't want to get stuck on that. Let's move on.
But yeah, I just had to share that because I thought, wow, this is.
I want you to go, Angel.
I might listen because I really want to be like, I really not to cause no uproar, just to listen and then leave and then be like, well, you guys are a blast. I hope you get a lot of new members. Let me know when y'all's probate is.
Man. Because I'll definitely go. Man.
Go ahead, friend. What's next?
Man. All right. This creator, this lady went viral talking about creators. Speaking about things publicly, she said on Threads, I declined 100. She said she's a brand manager. I declined 110 creators this month and dropped 7 this morning over public comments surrounding the Neutrogena / Hayden Panettiere situation. Everything does not need to be posted or discussed publicly. I've closed over $350,000 in brand deals. So when I tell creators media training and professionalism matter, I know what I'm talking about. If you refuse to listen, I'll cut ties. So she was telling people it's not the right time to speak on this Hayden Panettiere thing. And people were getting in her. And then it was like, this girl scammed me. A lot of people were like,
she is a scammer.
And somebody said, wait, you only closed $350,000? You shouldn't even be talking. That ain't even enough money to brag about. This is hilarious. That people's but when I tell you they ain't pull that ad immediately, but it didn't take long. People rightfully told her you should speak up about things. Hayden Panettiere wasn't wrong. Neutrogena was wrong for trying to fire her over morality clause about speaking about depression.
It's crazy.
How did you get just be quiet? That's how you buy people's silence.
Yes, and people usually think they can.
And they can.
Mm-hmm.
They can. Your silence can't be bought with the right amount of money. That's the thing about integrity. I can't wait till one of the things that I'm very proud of, even though it's stupid, Tahir pranked me on what was that show called? On the app. Tahir pranked me on
I don't remember the name of the show, but yep.
Act. And in the prank, I was supposed to be getting a brand deal for $180,000. That's what they set it up. And I had flown back home to do this brand deal and all this type of stuff. And Tahir had set it up that there was a white dude telling me to act more black. And when I tell you, I was like, I'm not doing this. Like, nah. Like, I walked away from it. And I was so proud of myself because in the moment, I was just like, it didn't even dawn on me that this could have been a prank. And that's a lot of money.
Question. That's Kev on stage who has a sound stage and an app. Kev on stage working at fired from the bank. Okay. And the same brand deal comes your way. What'd you say it? Exactly.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my sunshine girl. I sure do believe. How you want me to say it, sir? I shaved my head with Beverly. I do say so myself, sir.
Oh, my God. don't say no. It's the truth. Listen.
No. It's
Kevin,
not
$180,000. I'm telling you, during your playmaker day.
In my book, in my house in Reseda, when the NFL offered me that bread, I had bees living in my house. I had a bee nest, and I couldn't afford to get it taken out.
Was it 180K?
It was six figures.
Okay.
And I hadn't even had a five-figure brand deal at that time. Like, at that time, I had got, like, Verizon gave me $500 one time, and a movie gave me, like, $750. Maybe I had got $1,000. And I was like, oh, I remember one time Verizon gave me a brand deal for $150. And I was like,
God, I made it.
So this was six figures. And I didn't have six figures in my life. And I was like, I can't do it, man. Because my fear was, if I do this and I know I'm going against my morals for this amount of money, the next time it'll be something that's more against my morals and it'll be more money.
And you weren't watching the NFL at that time?
And I really wasn't watching the NFL. And I was a fantasy football playing, Sunday ticket, NFL, like every Seahawks game, watcher, and I stopped. And when I tell you they gave that brand deal away by the next Tuesday, I seen the nigga took
it. Like, there's a nigga who's got two beehives in his house. He was <Yeah. the> house.
So I believe, because I just feel like, man, that's low-key one of my not my fears, but like, I feel like in this industry, you will have to stand on your morals. They will be challenged. And if you're not willing to stand on them, they're gonna play you. Somebody tried to play me last week. Okay. Yeah, somebody tried to play me. And I had to be like, all right, then, like, if it's this, then it's nothing. When I tell you that, and my heart sunk a little bit, because I was like, all right, if I lose this relationship, it is what it is. Four or five hours later, I was like, well, let's just see what we can do. Let's just see, you know, because sometimes they're just trying to test you and see if you really, you like, they're trying to test your mettle and see if you really about what you want. And that's why I have to become, I have been becoming less and less conflict avoidant, because people will play on that. If they know you are, they'll play on your lack of conflict and use it against you. So I'm like, oh, you going to make me say it? I'm going to say it. And I'm going to make you say it. Like,
we've all seen it out loud.
I must say it right clear. Because you're going to have to. And what I found is when you say it clear out and in the open, people who's trying to be sneaky, people who try to move sneaky and snakily, they don't do well with straight up. I don't know why that makes sense. Help me understand why you think that should be.
Mm-hmm.
Straight like that. Phone call, email. Mm-hmm. If you, we talking, you know, as an actress, you talking in subtext and code and all that. I feel like you're trying to do X, Y, and Z without the proper, you know, A, B, and C. They'd be like, you got to call a spade a spade, and I love playing spades. You ain't going to trick me. Mm-hmm. You are acting like the Joker. Come on and talk about it. This is just an insane story that I saw this morning. Ohio couple accused of barging into cruise ship cabin, attacking family and 9-year-old. Did you see this in the docket?
No, where?
It was in Port. They ended up getting arrested in Port Canaveral, Florida. They were wildly drunk on this cruise ship. They wouldn't release the cruise ship name, but if I had my guess, it starts with a C and ends with an Arnival. And they got wildly drunk and they were like arguing in the hallway in front of this couple's room.
Oh, so I see it now. Jesus, I don't know what's wrong. Go ahead.
That's all right. One of the family members was like, yo, hey, y'all too loud in the hallway. And when they went to close the door, the person like bust their, like kept the door open, broke into their room or barged into the room, starts punching the family and the man starts punching and the woman starts swinging wildly. They socked the 9-year-old while they were drunk. And when the cruise ship, then they get arrested in the, you know, the cruise ship has like a small jail. And then when they made their next port of call stop in Port Canaveral, they arrested them.
So wait, why gotta be a black couple?
I know. I saw the story before I saw the people. I saw the story before I saw the name. Then I saw and I was like, dang.
What?
Jacox or something.
Yes, Jacox and the other one is, hold on, Hicks. Brooklyn Hicks and Gannon Jacox.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong? Why y'all do this?
This is the thing. When you're drunk, you never know how you're acting. And this is why I don't even like being around drunk, like people who are really, really drunk.
You do too know how you're acting. I don't believe that bullshit.
You don't believe that?
I do. I do believe. I mean, I don't believe that you don't know what you're doing.
Really?
Yes. I have never had that much alcohol.
I was punching a baby.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. There has never been a time where I have drank. And I'm talking about, I just told you of an instance where I got fully drunk off of one drink. And in my years of drinking, whenever I have drank a lot, there has never been a time where I don't know what I'm doing or what I've done. Mm. Ever. Ever. I might be a little bit more freer. I might say things that I normally would not say, but I can still stand on the things I said. It might just be like, Angel, you wow, but it's not like, Angel, you became this huge racist bigot
right.
That just, you know, and all of a sudden you grabbing on this man's random dude's crotch, like, it's never.
That's true. You never hear me drunk and you're like, you know what I love? White women.
Right. Right.
It's so funny when Melissa gets drunk.
Go ahead.
You know how I know Melissa or Melanie is drunk? No matter what the conversation actually is about, they gonna bring up how Beyonce is the most talented person in the world. Yeah, because
it's a good topic of discussion, sober or drunk. Good topic of discussion.
Do you like Catfish or Swy? What I like is the fact that Beyonce is the greatest rapper that ever lived.
Ever.
And if you disagree with me, you don't know about rap. Melissa, one of my favorite stories, and I don't care how many times I say it, y'all gonna listen. We was in Spain drinking sangrias, and Melissa, I don't think Mel was there, was dead seriously trying to convince me that Beyonce was a bigger brand than the Disney company and was arguing me down. And I said, Liz, Beyonce does not have an amusement park. She was like, that's just because she doesn't want one.
There you go. Exactly.
Think Beyonce couldn't have Beyonce's world?
And I would be there on the roller coasters. Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, killing me softly. But yeah, that's interesting. I wouldn't say that I think you are different, but I would believe you aren't actually aware of all your actions.
Listen, I think they're.
Some people never seem to know they're not drunk when you're around them. They be like, no, I'm cool, man.
No, they're just assholes. They know they're drunk. They're a-holes.
Really?
I don't listen. Let me tell you what. Then let's just make it clear, because some people were like, some people were like, well, you could be blackout drunk. If you're blackout drunk, that means you've blacked out. You're no longer conscious, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about two people who are conscious enough to push themselves into a room and punch a 9-year-old in the head. Yeah. That's not blackout drunk. So, but let me make it clear then. Let me draw the line in the sand. There's nothing a person can do when they are drunk and me not hold them to the same standard of them as they're sober. So if people think they want to get more grief from me because they're drunk or what have you, I'm be like, no,
that's true.
I saw you as the same person.
No, that's true. If you was drunk and you called me out of my name or whatever you did, you gonna be accountable for whatever you did when you was on that liquor.
Mm-hmm. Just as if you were sober. I didn't know what I was saying. Oh, yes, the fuck you did. Because you said it. You didn't stumble over the words.
There's no world where I get so drunk that I barge myself, me Kevin, barge myself into a hotel, into somebody's room and punch somebody. And I could be loud. I probably also wouldn't be arguing with Melissa loud But I can see a world where I'm talking too loud for somebody's comfort. But there's no world that I burst in your room and I'm like, oh, you got a 9-year-old, do you? Pink. Like, that's just not going to
happen. Yeah, my favorite thing, I'm way more flexible when I'm drunk. I'm louder when I'm drunk. I have more singing notes when I'm more drunk. Flexible. Oh, yeah. Like, I can
do just back more fearless.
Yeah. Okay. But I can do all the things and have great balance. Like, I'm not a stumbling drunk. I'm not a stumbling drunk at all. Like, baby, put me on a tightrope. And I got
it. One of my fears of an actor is trying to play drunk. I feel like I don't know how to do it. Mariska Hargitay has a great video about it. And I just feel like I'm going to be like, ugh, the thing you're not supposed to do. Like, I'm drunk. I'm not drunk. I feel like I'm going. I feel like.
I feel like you figure it out.
Nah. I feel like I'm going to get a script one day. And Martin Scorsese is going to be like, ah, Kev, we're going to have to let you go. Your drunk's not just believable. And I'd be like, no, I'm Martin Scorsese. I can do it.
You just show up drunk.
Show up drunk? No, Martin, I really am. I'm off the mug.
No. Smell my breath.
G&T.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Listen, I'm over here opening up these checks because I'm going to go to the bank and talk to my banker again today. I got some more checks.
Oh, it is Friday. I got to talk to you about this.
Ooh, okay. What?
It's a docket thing.
No, I figured.
You know what Flock is? You know what Flock cameras are?
Are they? I heard of them. Are they cameras in the world?
Yeah, they're just like all over cities.
Yeah.
No, they're all over cities.
Okay. Everybody.
Yes, tracking everybody. Sarasota officer was fired for misuse of Flock cameras. Black dude, by the way, 38 years old. Hold on, I want to get you the number. They read your license plate to tell you like where the car was going. Let me make sure I got this correct. I want to get you the 717 times this officer activated the Flock cameras to track his estranged wife in. Between May 20th, 2025, and July 17th, 2025. So less than 2 months, he tracked his wife 717 times using the Flock camera database.
What? Why would he think? Well, first of all, how are they not checking these things often?
They are, and that's the thing. The Flock camera database, you can get access to the records the same way, like, you know, Mel gets access to legal docs, like X, Y, and Z is public information. That's how somebody found out. They were like, yo, this is a lot of, I don't know exactly how they came about it, but this is a lot of time. This one license plate had been queried. They didn't say whether the wife was Black. That's a good question. The guy was Black, but they didn't say whether the wife was Black. But then in a deeper investigation, apparently it's like ever since Flock cameras have been available to police, there's been tens of hundreds of episodes of the police using Flock cameras to track estranged wives, estranged girlfriends, unrelated to law enforcement duties. They're tracking the movements of their current or former love interests. Abusing it. And it's like, y'all, how y'all expect people to trust the police when we already think this of the police, and then all they do is give us reasons to believe to bolster our belief.
Yeah. I truly don't get how there aren't enough guardrails to keep this from happening. I mean, the cameras already are insane, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what there is or if there's anything to do about it. Like, I don't want to be one of those people who are like, well, it is what it is. It's never, anything's going to change. But if there's something if they're not going to take these down, then why are there not strong guard? Well, you have to put in the reason for the why you are looking them up, and then flagging someone of importance if it's looked up more than once. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, I feel like there's so many guardrails that can be put up to keep people from stalking folk.
Ain't enough guardrails to stop corrupt people, Angel. Because the corruption gonna go. You asking the people who are abusing the system to create the system and abide by the system. These are the people who are arresting people and throwing, they be coming to the crime scene with drugs on them just to make sure we got probable cause.
That's so insane. It's just what type of world are we living in?
Yes.
Like, I don't know what's the end. What's the end all? Like, what is it? What's the purpose of all this? Why do you need to know where everybody's at? What type of control do you need us to be in? For what purpose?
We want to be controlled every step you take, every move you make.
Because once you have all the money, what are you doing?
Getting more. After they have all the money, they want to push the people with less down on the ground. Like, I don't think there's...
Like, for what? You're never going to be around those people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could probably guarantee I'll never be in the same room or building as Jeff Bezos.
I think we'll never. When you get the Angel Show, he's going to be a fan of that show, and he's going to want to meet you. He's going to send a yacht for you.
Well, let me tell you what. I'm getting on the yacht, but just so I could tell him, you're wrong. You're wrong. And I want some pokey ahi. It's the purge. It's the purge. Give what me the callback.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a callback.
But I'm getting on that yacht and I'm going to tell him about himself. Oh, you think you can buy me? Huh? You can't. You can't. Now, how long can I
say? Jeff Bezos is not going to know why you're robbing him for ahi tuna.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Since you done robbed the people, I'm going to rob you back. Call me Robin Hood.
Oh, snap. Oh, God.
Absolutely. All right.
We got a lot of serious subjects today. I'm sorry. I don't usually like to do a whole bunch of serious
subjects.
You want to
talk about the lady who had the baby and they're taking the baby from the
That's
lady?
That's also serious.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I thought you were just saying we were doing, there's a lot of serious
No. I just want to touch on this. Lupe Fiasco said, and I just agree with this so much. Lupe Fiasco, I don't think I have the video. Let me see. Oh, no, I do. This is Lupe Fiasco on homeownership and why it's not for everybody. And I want y'all to
bring it up. But I'm going to tell you what I told Marcus. I just found out yesterday that the people in Gary didn't have electricity.
The people in Gary don't have electricity. You're right about it.
Rapper Lupe Fiasco says renters get too much hate. Some people aren't
renting versus owning and stuff like that. And, you know, there's pros and cons to both. When you rent, there's some pros and there's some cons. When you own, there's some pros and some cons. When you own shit, you own it. You got to take care of it. You're responsible for it. You got to fix anything that happens to it. You're in charge. Some people aren't built for ownership, and that's fine. It's okay. That's not a bad thing. And I think it's some bullshit to kind of play on people to make them feel bad for renting. Versus like, oh, you need to own it. If you don't own it, you ain't shit. You ain't came up on nothing. You ain't talking about nothing. I think that's some bullshit. But, you know, it does more damage to people because some people aren't meant to own shit. You force somebody culturally to think that ownership is the optimal thing to have. Then they start buying shit, start owning shit. Then they realize, like, they have to take care of it. They're not competent. Not that people are dumb, but they're just not, I don't know how to fix this car. Like, I don't know how to build this fucking thing. Like, I need somebody to come in and help me do this, et cetera. And a lot of that shit is baked into when you rent something or have a subscription to something. Whereas if when you own the shit, you're responsible for refilling it and hire. It's just a lot of layers. And some people aren't built for that shit.
I agree with him, but I want to go further, if you don't mind. The system is more and more designed that it's becoming harder and harder, nay, I say nearly impossible to own. In addition to everything he said, it's getting harder and harder to own because the housing prices are OOC. So the kids say, out of control. I don't believe everybody needs to own a home. I don't believe everybody needs to own a business. Sometimes renting is good. It's fine. Somebody else has to worry about it. The one thing that ownership is good for, which don't even always be the case, is equity. That's the one thing that becomes really beneficial. You, by doing nothing, you get to live in your house and it becomes worth more. But the United States is becoming increasingly hard to buy a home. Most people can pay the amount of money that it takes to own a home, like the mortgage amount. The mortgage payment. What most people lack is the down payment that it takes, right? One of the greatest lucks of my life is that I bought my first house at a time when there was a down payment assistance program called Acorn that allowed you to buy a house with 0% down and you didn't have to pay for mortgage insurance. I can see a world right now where there's people who are like, I actually have the cash for a down payment and I have the money for a mortgage and I have the money for HOA. And I still don't want to buy a house. I want the cash. I want the cash in the stock market. I want the ability to move. I want the freedom to move. I want to move to an apartment. I want a condo. I don't want to pay HOA dues. There's a myriad of reasons. And I don't feel like, first of all, you're shaming people and the people ain't necessarily not in a position to buy. They are choosing not to buy the same way they're choosing not to start a business, the same way they're choosing not to have children. It's not because they can't all the time. It's because they don't want to.
Yeah, I was about to say, even if it wasn't increasingly difficult to get a home, not everybody wants to own a home. Some people like to be able to move about. Yes. One thing about buying a house, you are cementing yourself until you sell it. And sometimes selling is not that easy. So this becomes, and then also equity really only is a real asset if you don't owe on the home.
Yep.
Or if you don't live in the home, when it is your own, like your own primary dwelling and somebody else is not living there, paying the mortgage off, your house is still a liability. You know what I'm saying? If you're if the amount that you owe is higher than the equity that you have, you have just taken on more liability with the thought that one day you won't owe on it. So at the end of the day, it's like.
It's only actualized if you can sell your house.
Yes, it's only actualized if you can sell your house somebody is living in it and paying off. If not, it's full blown a liability. And so I don't know why.
Another debt. If you take out a second mortgage to pull from your own equity, you have created another loan.
You've created more. It is a lie that is told to us to be able to get us into homes, because obviously every industry is going to be able to tell you the benefit of why you should be more involved into that industry. So with the industry of home ownership, you're going to have people being like, well, this is the easiest way to build generational wealth. Well, no, life insurance is. Having a nigga die that has $1 million. Generational wealth.
Get that policy and die. It's going to kick you off. It's going to kick you off straight.
Yeah, that way you don't have any liability. You don't pick up a bunch of debt. It's just everybody gonna die eventually. So if this dude don't die doing something stupid, you gonna get that money. So they say that. They also make home ownership seem like in the hierarchy of adulting, it is more of adulting better than someone who has decided I will live where someone else owns the place and has the last say on certain things. However, if you live in the state of California, you actually have the upper hand as the tenant because the laws are here to protect you. And if your landlord does not do the necessary things, like replace appliances when they break, like fix different things when they are not operational at a certain time, baby, you can take them to court. Yes. And they're going to have to pay for everything. Okay. So
I think there's pros and cons to each. I just don't think we, what I agree with him most is we, a lot of people have assessed the pros of owning and decided against it. It's not because they don't want to or not able. It's just that the same with a business. People know you ain't doing nothing. You don't own a business. There's many a days where I wish I didn't own a business and I could just go to work and somebody else could just pay me. There's a lot more stress. I mean, there's stress either way, right? You can get laid off, but you know, me and you got to create every check that come our way.
Listen, I can tell you right now, yesterday morning, my husband was thinking, why did I leave that job, that good job that they had me at? Why did you convince me to come up off that job?
He was driving all the way to Riverside, Angel.
Yes, but he was like, I know that that drive can always be done and they always going to need me there. If they don't need me there, they're going to need me elsewhere. Instead, I'm like, all right, time to make a TikTok. We got to get these numbers up.
Listen.
No, no, it's okay, babe.
No.
He heard it. He's like,
Marcus, don't go back to that job, man.
Listen.
I called him yesterday.
He was ready. I could see it in his spirit of like, okay. So listen, we just live in a make-believe, and I need a real job.
I get it. I get it. There was many a day where I was like, when I was getting dragged, I was like, well, if they hate me, I'm going to be right back at that job. I work at that job. Because let me tell you what. When I was at that Boeing, I ain't never got paid more to do less with my day than not that Boeing. You know where I would be now if I had just been working there? I'd be there 15 years. I'd be watching. Here's the thing. Like, y'all, what time y'all going live? Because I sure gonna close my office door. There's so many people on our Patreon who be fully at work. Like, I'm at a meeting, y'all. Both hands on their chin.
Listen. It be up in my sister's
chin. No, I go to Boeing right now. I call Mr. Boeing and be like, Mr. Boeing, let me get my job back. I still know how to schedule them 737s down at the Renton plant. Just show me how. I know how to get in there and schedule them 737s. Mr. Boeing.
Do you ever think about what type of employee you would be if you had to rejoin the regular workforce?
Boy. I'd be getting fired every other week. They'd probably be like, we're going to have to let you go. I knew it. I just, 5 months, however quick you can put me on a performance improvement plan is probably how long I last.
That's it.
I don't think I could make a year.
Let me tell you who would riot. My children. They'll be like, what you mean? What do you mean you can't come to this school to see me read this poem at 9:30 in the morning?
Club
at
Tupelo, Mississippi before I'd have to get me a regular job. Tupelo, Mississippi. Welcome to the stage room.
That's why Angel's back to telling jokes. Yucky, yuck, yucka. Quack, quack, quack.
You know what I've been thinking lately? All right. We getting ready to shoot this TV show on Monday and Tuesday. All this Tubi stuff. You know what I talked to my business manager. I said, all this crap is dumb. The thing that's smart is telling these jokes in these cities. As a comedian, listen, when I tell you all this other stuff is moot point. Richmond, Virginia, how y'all feeling? Not. That's where the bread is.
Yeah.
So all them TV shows and stuff, I'd be like, pish pod. Y'all make fun of me for being on the road. Y'all think this is a lot? I'm going to be on the road 84 weekends next year. I'm going to be like, I was telling Melissa the other day, I said, first of all, y'all not going to tell me nothing else. Patreon, Angel, and Joshy. I said, I'm about to consider myself like an NBA player. 8 months out the year, I'm at work. You hear me? I'm going to take a 2 or 3 month off season. I'm going to be telling them jokes in them cities.
All your children have left you. Then of course, you can fly.
Not only have they left, they have increased the amount to be their father.
Now, that's the big thing. That is the big thing.
Them from elementary to middle, to it started off when Joe got into that private school. And then Isaiah got in college. And then Joe went to that bigger private school. Let me tell you what. Cleveland. 17 nights only. Kev on stage residency. January 1st through 17th. Down at the Looney Bin.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Hey, y'all said, somebody said, poor Josh. Josh ain't got to go. I ain't asking. Let me tell you what I was telling. I'll go by my damn self. Sell my own shirts. No, Greg.
You know, I sell my shirts. Come on out here.
Everything I said about meet and greets, I'm going to be like, what are y'all talking about? I always love meet and greets. Why is your nose bleeding? It does that. It always does that after shows.
Listen.
I'll be lonesome.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
Before I go back to boring.
Don't feel bad for Josh. Josh trying to build a family. So Josh gonna be right there with Kevin. What's a different picture?
Almost a month.
He ready to be back making somebody.
Listen, he got a wife now. That ain't just no girlfriend now. He got kids to feed. He got eight at that house that need cat food.
Yes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Snickerdoodle.
Speaking of, I got to get ready for the show. Richmond tonight. God bless y'all. Angel, have a great day.
Ready to go cry? Cry. Make people laugh.
There you go. I'll see you Monday. Y'all, don't forget, we'll be back. Bonus sometime next week. We'll let you know that time, but nothing on Tuesday. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you at the conference.
Bye.
All right, Angel. God bless you.
All right, sir. Have a good show. Bye.
All right.